So God is on the move. He's doing amazing things, and we have the privilege to partner with him. And I want to tell you just one wee story from something that's happened up at Rikese just this week. There was an outreach event that happened on Tuesday. Was it just this week? That's weird. Okay, anyway, it's just this week on Tuesday. And there was a girl who'd kind of come to a previous event, a previous outreach that we had about sort of 3-4 months ago. About 4 months ago now. And I had been put on the kind of we do a thing called life reading, but effectively it's about using the gift of prophecy to be able to encourage whoever it comes. And I have to confess that every time we kind of go in these kind of things, I absolutely, totally, you know, panic and hope that I'm going to be put on looking after the coffee or something like that. And every single time Heather kind of goes, would you like to do, and every time she asks me to do something, it's like more and more challenging as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so I was on the kind of life reading group, the kind of the prophetic thing. And I have to say that because I'm the guy who in one particular prophecy course, it was actually here in this room, actually closed my eyes, and I was asked to prophesy over someone and called them a mighty man of God, opened my eyes and saw it was a woman. And so I'm just telling you this because I am not confident at all about kind of prophetic ministry. So that's where I'm coming from that, okay? And so I was stuck on this team thinking, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh help me, help me, help me. And this girl came and sat down. And I'd really been kind of like, I'm not going to do that thing. We can all do the thing where we actually effectively prophesy scripture. You can just kind of like, you know a scripture and you just give a scripture and that actually encourages them. That's fine, you can do that. And I knew that I could do that, but I said to God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask for really specific things, which are words of knowledge, which will really kind of like, it'll either be right or it'll be wrong. So I was like really pushing myself to kind of have a go at it. Okay, anyway, this girl sat down and I got the words upgrade. And at that point, I kind of went, in my head, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word upgrade, but in my head, I was thinking like, you know, upgrade on, if you're flying, you know, you get an upgrade from like, you know, a sort of like cattle class to whatever's next. You know, or maybe if you're getting a new phone contract, you get upgraded from one type of phone to the next, that kind of thing. So in my head, I was thinking, you know, this is going to be a word about upgrading. So I gave the word, right? And this girl went, mm-hmm. And no visual feedback at all. It was like you could have been telling her that she'd won the lottery. She was not giving any game. You know, it was like there was nothing, no feedback at all. So I just kind of went, okay, that's fine. And off she went. And as I do, not everybody does this, but as I do, at the end of the thing, I went, I'm such an absolute idiot. I don't know what on earth I was thinking about. What on earth was that all about? Never mind. Okay, God, that's fine. Just whatever. Left it. Then over the last 3 months, I've seen her every now and again, and every time I've seen her, I head for the toilets. It's like, you know, I'm off ski, because I don't want to see her, because I just think, she's going to think, there's that guy that gave me that stupid word about upgrade. And genuinely, that's what I do. So I've been avoiding this lady. And on Tuesday at the outreach, she was there again, and I was at my table, and Shona and I were together at the prophetic table. I think Heather is absolutely determined to drill me on this thing. Anyway, so the pair of us are there, and of course, you're there, and whoever, and the deal is basically, whoever comes, they're brought to you, so you can't get away. It's like you can't get away. You're sitting in the and I have to confess, I'm going, oh God, don't send that lassie again. I'm going, you know, because it's bad enough the first time. But if she comes and sits in front of me and she goes, oh, here's that total tube again. Why did I get allocated to him? Anyway, I was kind of hoping that in faith, Shona was had a bit more faith than I did, so it would be okay. But anyway, she didn't come. But at the end of the meeting, we actually got feedback from Joe. That she'd actually talked to Jill, and Jill, could you actually tell the right bit of the story? It's about how she actually interpreted. Was it you that said how she interpreted the word upgrade? No. Was it not you that gave the feedback? There was somebody. Was he? Great. So you can come tell us, Grace. You can tell. This is crowd participation now. So tell us what she actually said in terms of how she received it. Which is not what I said. But, just to be clear, We do not prophesy hatches, matches, or dispatches in this church. Okay, so, but that's what she said. She said she walked to her mum and she said, immediately I knew that means that I'm going to be pregnant, and she's pregnant. Big, bump and ready to go. And for her, that word was a word that brought life. And actually, for her, an upgrade at that moment was that she got pregnant. God's amazing. So it's really not us, is it? So, it's really him. He is amazing. And I have to say that I've been kind of like walking 10 feet tall, anyone like a prophetic word, I'm on it now, But no, I'm kidding. But I just think, that's just, God is so good. I didn't know that that's how she would take it, and I didn't know that's what the longing of her heart was, obviously. And there she was. Anyway, I'm just excited about what God has done. Over the next few months, we are heading off in the direction of kind of thinking about the words that God has spoken to us as a church, that's on the banner at the back. Again, just to remind you, if you can't actually see this, these, and I'll get the story right this time, Iris. So at the beginning of the church, 1996, we had a kind of an interesting kind of experience where we gathered together and we sensed that God was birthing something. And when that happened, Iris, thank you, Iris, got that right this time. Iris actually kind of, we asked the question, what's the name of the church? And Iris shared these four things. Wayne's Church of Scotland is to be a child of the promise, a child of miracles, a child of healing, and a child of revival. And these, for us, are foundational truths. They're about who we are. They're about, they're about what we're about. And so we're going to be talking about the different ones over the next few months, as I say. And today we're talking about the first of them. So it's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed, but it actually says a child of the promise. Now, at that point, nobody ever defined what that was. I for years had this kind of like, what is the promise? What's the promise that we, and then for me, and certainly I think for most of us, it's actually right here. It's this one. This is the promise, that we talk about when we're thinking about a child of the promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, very, very, very well-known verse. When I was 16, I went for the first time to join a summer mission holiday. It was a sort of summer mission outreach thing that was happening in Lossiemouth. I don't know if you've ever been to Lossiemouth, beautiful place up in the Moray Firth. And I have a real love for Lossie. So we kind of went and we stayed in this church hall. We slept in the hall, and the boys were in the hall. I should say. The boys were in the hall, like in wooden floors, and the girls were in the session room with very thick carpet. And anyway, never mind that. That was one of the things I remember. 16 years old, and I remember it was one of these things, it didn't have any, there were toilets, obviously, but there was no showers or anything like that. You had to kind of go out, and in the middle Saturday, it was a two-week thing, so in the middle Saturday, you got to go for a shower, which, if you can imagine what the boys were like after playing games with all these hundreds of kids, which is one of the things we did, and we kind of only get showered like once in the fortnight. It wasn't a good experience. Anyway, there's a lot of links used at that point. I'll just tell you that. And what I remember of that particular time, it was the first time I'd ever been on a mission team. And one of the things that they did was they did a kind of a sort of street outreach thing. So we were down the front. There's a sort of set of shops and all the rest of it. If you've been in Lossiemouth, you'll know, and the cafe and various other things. And then there's a wee kind of like, there's wee bits of grass just beside where the river is. And we set up to, these balloons are having a go today. There's another one. We set up to do this outreach. And so as part of the outreach, what we were doing was we were just sharing the gospel. We're sharing our story. We're telling people about Jesus. And I remember being asked, would you do a wee bit of Ireland? I was 16, first time I'd ever done anything at all. I was absolutely, if I was struggling, shall we say, with the kind of, you know, this prophecy stuff up till now, I was absolutely bricking it as far as kind of doing anything was concerned. But I prepared, I prayed, I thought, right, I'm going to say this. And then I began to kind of just talk about the gospel, and I began to share. And what I remember was there was a wee group of people who were sort of standing, listening to us, who I think were basically church people who'd kind of come down to support us. And then just beyond that, there's a road, and then just beyond that, there's a pub. And in the pub, there was a beer garden, and the guys, because we had a PA, the guys in the beer garden could hear us. And so I remember sharing. And then I remember kind of the guys in the beer garden laughing. And then I remember them kind of saying, you know, just shouting stuff. And then I remember that the team leader kind of said, right, well, that's us, we're all done, thank you very much, and basically packed up and began to kind of walk up the road. And what I remember was, I remember saying, why are they reacting like that? Why are they not wanting to hear this? What is it that, why aren't they coming across? What can we do? Can we go across them? And I remember him actually sort of saying, no, come on, Alan, you just come up the road with me. And actually, what I remember at that point was was that I kind of looked at them and in a way that didn't make any sense because they were heckling me. I didn't know any of them. And what happened was God broke my heart for them. He broke my heart for them. I'm feeling it now. I remember walking up the hill back up to the church weeping. And actually arguing with the guy that was kind of like, come on, we've got to go up the hill. Come on, up the hill. And I'm kind of pulling him back and sort of saying, no, we've got to go back. Because what happens if they don't understand? What happens if they don't ever hear? What happens if they don't ever hear again? What happens if that's it? What happens if that's the only chance that you're ever going to get to hear the good news? And you know, and in the same way that I'm worked up now, I was worked up then. And I remember him kind of going, aye, okay, come on. You know, just come with me, shut up and come on. You know, you'll be fine, be quiet. And I suppose what I want to sort of say to you today is, you know, we want to take time to actually kind of dig back into what is foundational, fundamental to us as a church. And I want to say to you that today that the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that the promise that we have, which is that those who believe in Jesus Christ will not die but have eternal life, that message of the gospel is absolutely the centerpiece, the foundation of this church. That desire that actually causes us to have the same reaction that I had when I was 16 years old and didn't know any better and didn't realize that it wasn't appropriate for me to be kind of, you know, trying to kind of go back into a beer garden and persuade people and kind of, you know, that actually there's something of the compassion of God for the lost of the that are around about us that is absolutely at the heart of what we are as a church. You want to understand why? What motivates us? You want to understand why we are the way we are? It's because of the fact that we believe this to be true. That there is only one hope, and his name is Jesus. There is only one way, and it is through him to the Father. We believe that as an absolute foundation block of our life. And I know that for me, one of the things that we carry within this fellowship is this, that we want to be able to say, Lord, break my heart, Lord, for those who do not know you. Break my heart so that I would feel for them as you feel for them. On that day when I was 16 and I didn't know any better and it just happened, you know, that was what was happening. God had given me that, just had given that revelation that there is no other way. And that actually, if folks don't hear, if folks don't understand, if they actually don't have people who are willing to go to them and willing to share with them, then actually the consequences of that are eternal. Not only do people choose to believe and then have eternal life, but the reality is that people also choose not to believe and have an eternal life without God. Because God honors the choices that people make. Nobody's forced, you know, to do anything. We all get to choose. But God honours the choices that we make in life. What we do in life echoes in eternity. And we believe that. We believe that our spirits, our souls are eternal. You know, that we don't just come to the end and that's it. We have hope for eternal life. But we also know this truth, which is that the consequences of not choosing are so horrendous that we would never want that to happen to anybody. And so, you know, we shape ourselves around that missional task. We allow ourselves to be consumed by the good news message, which gives us hope and which thrusts us out into the kind of community and into the friendships that we have. But we do so knowing that actually we also carry that deep, deep conviction that actually the decision that people make now is absolutely the most important decision they will ever make, ever, in all of their life. So we have a message of hope. This message is a message of hope. This good news is good news for everyone. Nobody is barred. Everybody, you know, the scriptures tell us that the Lord desires that none should perish. We are confident of this, that when we talk to our friends, when we talk to our neighbors, when we talk to our family, we know that God's full resources are thoroughly released into their situation, into their lives, because he's convinced, he's absolutely, you know, determined that they would know him and love him. And that would be something which we can be confident of. We don't need to worry about it. Even the people who are standing against it. You know how you kind of talk to people and they're kind of like, "You're an idiot." You know, like those people in that beer garden. "You're an idiot. Get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just a, you know, you're a religious zealot. You're a nutter. Beat it." We don't have that. Any of these things that people say to us. Any of these things where our friend, our family in particular, I know that, you know, I've got family who aren't Christians, and I struggle with that. I struggle with the fact that actually, you know, there's some members of our family who regularly will kind of, you know, say things to me that just show that they despise everything that I'm about, and humanly I struggle to be able to share anything of the good news with them. But listen, I know that God is on their case. I know that God is on their case. I don't need to worry about that. I don't need to be kind of concerned about that. And actually, what I need is this. I need for God, and this is what today, I hope, is all about. I need for God to melt my heart again. Because do you know what happens? My hard heart stops me from living the life that I'm supposed to live. You know, I believe this stuff. I believe it. I'm absolutely convinced that it's true. I live my life according to this. But you know, I let my heart be hardened by the disappointment and the rejection and the pain that comes from those around about me. And if we're going to talk about, you know, what does it mean for God to take us back to the foundations, it is this, that we would allow God today to once again break our hearts. That we would once again allow ourselves today to take away the defensive shell that we have put in place where we struggle to share our faith with our friends and our family because we've been so, you know, sort of like, you know, we've been so rejected or we've been embarrassed, or they've said things to us that have hurt, or whatever, you know. And actually, you know, how do we get back to that place where actually this promise, is the greatest and most important thing? It is that we would allow the Lord to do a work in our hearts, a deep, deep work. So, that's really all I want to say. But it's a really, really deep work. It's a really hard thing. In one sense, it's impossible for us, but it is possible for God. And so I want to pray for us as a church that actually that God would take us back into that soft-hearted place. It says in the scriptures that actually, you know, when we have stony, hard hearts, it says, you know, he will take away these hard hearts from us, these stony hearts from us, and he will give us again a heart of flesh and put his Holy Spirit into us. And if you're up for that today, then I just want to sort of say, this is what this church is about. This is what we're about. And so if you want to receive that, I'm going to just ask that the Lord does that. So just prepare yourself. Father, I just want to thank you that you are at work amongst us. Thank you that you are at work amongst our friends and our families. Thank you that you're doing, that you're using us even in our weakness and brokenness. That girl who has been upgraded. Amazing. God, you're amazing. You can do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. But Lord God, we know that actually this truth, this deep truth, this wonderful promise that you've given your Son, that whoever believes in him may not die but have eternal life, that promise is so fundamental, so important to us. It changes everything. It changes the way that we do our job or even what we do as a job. It changes relationships and the money that we have and the time that we have and all sorts of things. They are realigned when we actually get our hearts right with you. And so, Lord God, I want to just ask that you would come in your kindness and in your goodness and in your love and in your mercy. And where we have hardened our hearts, where we have closed ourselves off, where we have created a shell to protect ourselves so that we would not be hurt and rejected anymore, and that stopped us from living our life with this promise at the very bedrock of it, Lord, we come to you and we simply ask that you would forgive us. We ask now that you would wash away all of that hardness of heart, everything that would stop us from just having that gentleness, that softness of heart, that compassion for the lost, the brokenheartedness for the things that break your heart. Lord, even now, would you give us a new heart? Remove the heart of stone and give to us the heart of flesh, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your compassion. Fill us with courage. Courage to be bold again. Fill us with faith. Faith that you can do even more than we could ever imagine. That those who we have lived with, who have been cold and distant from our faith and who have maybe even ridiculed us and turned away from us because of these things, that you are absolutely committed to reaching them. And you have done everything that you need through the cross on Calvary to make it possible for them to know you. So Lord God, would you move us again as you moved us before? And perhaps move us more deeply than you have ever. And Lord God, we commit ourselves once more that this promise, that those who believe in Jesus would not die but have eternal life, that promise that is at the very center of our faith would be at the very center of our life again. That we would make decisions based around what that means and how that affects us as individuals and as a church. And Lord God, I pray that as we understand these things, that it would be like you would take the foundation and build it deeper into our life. That you would blow over it by your Holy Spirit and remind us that as we stand on it, that changes our orientation and our way of seeing the world. So Lord, would you come? And would you minister to us now, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just let the Lord do that work of renewal. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. And we bless you, Lord, for we love because you first loved us. Hear our prayers, for we offer them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I think the band are going to come up now. They're going to just lead us in a bit of worship. But I suppose the last thing I want to say is this, that maybe for you, you've never heard any of that. Maybe for some of us, the thought that actually that there's a decision to be made and that our choice, either for God or not for God, actually has eternal consequences. Maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you don't know that, but it's true. And maybe today is a day that you need to just make the decision to say, I want to make sure of my eternal destination today. I want to make sure that today I am with him for all eternity. So, if you want to do that, you can come and find us at the end. Let's finish our time together by worshiping again. Let's stand to sing.